podcast. Thank you, Brother Levi, for working with all of that technology and making sure it's available for others to be able to catch up and see. And I'm glad that you're here, because I want to talk to you about doubling your dream. Because the Lord can do that. Praise God. Now, a dream can be confusing. A dream can be a nightmare. A dream can be weird. Yeah. I'm not talking about those kind of dreams. I thought about Psalm 126. It's not my text. I just want to use it to show you something here about a dream. Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. Remember, they were taken captive for 70 years. They were in Babylon. And then finally they were released to go back. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. It was like a dream come true. They had been captive in a foreign land. Jerusalem had been destroyed. The walls torn down. It wasn't indeed a nightmare. But now they're returning. Now they're coming back. And they're thrilled with the opportunity that God has given to them. Verse 2, then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. This was their dream come true. They were so excited. They were so thrilled. And then verse 3 is the repetition, as though to put a stamp on it and say, yes, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Amen. And I'm thankful that's our experience as well. I'm thankful when the Lord turns our captivity to sin, to addictions, to problems, to whatever. I'm glad when the Lord turns that around. He brings us into his presence, into his power, into his goodness, and it's like a dream come true. Praise God. Amen. And thank the Lord that God doesn't quit on us, doesn't give up on us, but he continues to move by his Spirit and by his power. So, can God double your dream? Look at Genesis 41, 32. This is Pharaoh having his dream about plenty and then his dream about the plagues and how there was going to be famine. And the dream being doubled here simply means Pharaoh had the dream twice. For that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. And sure enough, it happened. 7 years of plenty, and they filled their barns, they filled their silos, they filled their storage places, because following that 7 years of plenty would come 7 years of famine. And it was a severe famine. And it, Egypt became the only place that had the grain and the food and so on that the rest of the world was in drastic need of, and that's how Joseph's brothers would come. And the dream that he had before as a 17-year-old teenager, they bowed before him. God has a way of making your dreams come true. If they're a divine inspiration, if they are in his plan and in what he desires to fulfill in your life, God can do it, and moreover, God can double it. Praise God. And so that's what I want to share with you tonight, for the Lord to double your dream. It's important to not just be plotters, spelled with two T's, but to become plotters, spelled with two D's. We're going to double those now. Because to just plan is just kind of be in your office, at your desk, at your kitchen table, sitting around talking to people and just planning. You've got to step out. And even though it may not be quick, even though it may not be a 100-yard dash that you do in 10 seconds or less, you're plodding along and you're making progress. You're moving towards your goal. You are seeing it come to pass. Amen. Yogi Berra, I like to read his stuff. He's pretty funny. You know, he qualified some of his sayings. He said, I didn't say all the things that I said. He's trying. So here's what he said. Make a game plan and stick to it, unless it's not working. Okay, that works. But I thought about how twice in the Bible, the phrase, in the beginning. Where's the first one? Where's the second one? Okay, in the beginning. You have to begin. You can't just sit around and wish. You just can't be hopeful and thinking and wishful and so on. You have to begin. Sometimes the failing is, well, I'm not good enough. I'll make mistakes and so on. You have to begin in order to get good at it. It's the only way. There's no other way to make it happen. And don't be disappointed if it doesn't happen as quickly as you want. More than likely it won't. Because there's going to have to be the activity that you put forth. Now, inaction, not doing anything, doesn't fail. You're not going to fail if you don't do anything. But you won't succeed either. Right. You're just stuck. So, you don't want to be just stuck. You want to be moving forward towards the dream that God has for you. Amen. And, you know, we say, well, I'll try, when really we should be saying, I'll do it. I won't just try, I'll do it. Praise God. And the effort to make a difference becomes even more in focus. And that's what you're wanting to do. We know we can't take anything when we die. Can't do anything. The guy buried in his Cadillac, it was a waste of a good Cadillac. He can't be driving it wherever he is. But I can live on, but what I give, and not just financial, what I give can live on beyond me. Amen. Thank God. Silver and gold have I none, the first Pentecostal preacher said. But let's fill in the blank. What don't I have? What excuse can I come up with? Ability have I none, but you got to move on. Such as I have, give I thee. Eloquence have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. You got to get past that, those excuses. You got to get past the what's holding you back. And remember, you have something powerful. When God fills you with his spirit, you've got, oh my, you've got power to witness. You've got power to teach. You've got power to let people know how good Jesus Christ is and the power that he desires to display. But good intentions aren't good enough. You have to live intentionally, not just with intentions, intentionally. There's a difference, because intentionally you're going to start taking steps towards the goals that you have in mind. Samuel Johnson is who we credit. He's a poet from a long time ago. He's the one we credit with saying, hell is paved with good intentions. And we've changed that a little bit. We say the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Because good intentions, if you don't act on them, if you don't do something with them, if you don't bring them to fruition, it's not going to amount to anything at all. Good intentions don't produce positive results. Right. Intentionality does. And following through on that. Amen. Listen to the change in these words. Here's the change in vocabulary when you're going from intentions to being intentional. Okay, listen to the change now. From desire to actions. Now, nothing wrong with starting with desire, but you've got to move into actions. Okay? From wish to purpose. From someday to today. I'm going to do something about it. And you step out with actions. From hopefully, we're moving from hopefully to definitely. Definitely, I'm going to do something. From somebody should to I will. I'll do something. I'll step out. From occasional to continual. So you catch the drift there now of how you're moving from inaction to action and how being intentional and recognizing there's something there. You can double your dreams. You have to put details and deadlines to your dreams. That's part of it. Moving from desire to deeds, from wanting to doing. And God helps us with that. That's why he gave us the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's why we have power to witness. Remember TST? Remember that program that Brother Wagner promoted very strongly? TST, tell someone today. And it was a simple little plan. All you did was tell someone today how good God is, how wonderful Jesus is. Just a simple little statement. Isn't it nice that God has given us such a beautiful day? You know, just something simple like that. But to take it a step further, if God opened a door for you to witness or to testify even more, step right through the door. Sometimes we hesitate. We hold back. Move into that realm where if the Lord opens that heart, and he does that, doesn't he? Lydia had her heart opened by the Lord in Acts 16. And God can open people's hearts for you to be able to testify and tell more about the Lord. Win-loss records are part of what teams keep track of. Amazing to me, the statistics that are in professional sports and the number of home runs, the number of baskets, the number of touchdowns, all of the different statistics that are there in professional sports. But have you ever heard of a one-loss record of a referee? They don't keep track of them. Maybe they do. How many arguments they might win or whatever, I don't know. But a one-loss record of a referee is not important. They're important to the game. Got to have them. They got to be there. Their whistle has got to sound and so on. But to make a difference on the team, you have to be involved. You have to step forward. You have to be a part of the team, and more so than just hollering and encouragement. That's important. A fella named Bob Moad said, most people don't aim too high and miss. They aim too low and hit. And it's good, I guess, in terms of hitting that goal, but being able to raise it higher and extend yourself, expand yourself, and so on, you've got to make it a little more challenging. And aiming too low and hitting it is, I suppose, not aiming at all is bad. You know how you can hit the target every time? You're a beginning archer. How you can hit the bullseye? And stand as close to the target as you want to. Draw back and let it fly. And then get your marker, and go over by the arrow, and draw a circle around it. Seems like some people, that's how they approach things. That's good enough. I did it. Don't have to try any harder. But you know, if you're going to be any good as an archer, and archery is hard. And it's a challenge, way more than shooting a firearm. But that's how some people work with it. Well, aim for your goal and then go for it. Now, this is where we don't want to do what Yogi Berra came up with. Don't do this. He said, if you don't set goals, then you can't regret not reaching them. Well, we need to set goals. I like what one author said. You do the natural, and God will do the super. Amen. All right. So the supernatural then happens when we do our part and let God do his part. Because the Bible says we're laborers together with God, right? Laborers together with God. Amen. I read brother about Brother Cole in Thailand, and it just is. I have a hard time imagining that he did this. But Thailand, in the 60s, you know, the communists were in the 70s were making their advances. Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, and Thailand. So they were trying to stop the tourist industry. They were beating up tourists. They were doing just lots of things to try to cripple the economy. And so he was in one of these little taxis, you know, the guys in front. There's a little bench in the back. And so he's riding along to wherever he was going, and the man turned off down an alley. And Brother Cole said, stop. And he could speak Thai, and the man kept going. He hollered again, stop. And the man kept going. So Brother Cole, this is the one I have a hard time imagining. Brother Cole scooched down in the seat, lifted his leg, and kicked the driver to almost over the handlebars. And he stopped. And Brother Cole's explanation? I didn't expect God to do everything. You can't expect God to do everything. You got to step out. Amen. You want a dream to come to pass? You want a dream to double? Step out and do it. Amen. Because God can do it as we're laborers together with him. Pharaoh had the dream of plenty, then he had the dream of the plague. And God can take us from nothing to something. Praise God. Yes, he can. Joseph went from the prison to the palace. And that was quite a transition. Wow. And power of the Lord being displayed. Moses went from the palace, maybe the very same palace. He went from the palace to seeing God's glory and God's power as he led the people of Israel out. Amen. Ephesians 3 and 20 is definitely one of my favorites. I'm thankful that the Lord gives that kind of a promise to us. But here's how the message translates Ephesians 3 and 20. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. Above all that we ask or think. Amen. And thank the Lord, it's above all. Abundantly above all. Praise God. And that's how the Lord would give that promise. So that's way more than we can dream. Now, several of the disciples were fishermen. And remember when the Lord, one of the first times he encountered them, they had been out fishing all night. The Lord used their boat for a pulpit, pushed out from the land. He talked to all the people on the shore. Then when it was finished, he turned to his disciples, or who was to be his disciples, and said, you catch any fish? No, we've been fishing all night. Okay, cast your net on the right side. And they could have complained, they could have argued, they could have said no, but they did. Even after fishing all night and catching nothing, they cast their net one more time, and they caught what we might call a deck load. Just just completely overflowing, because the Lord can double your dream. Yes, he can. Amen. But what if they didn't cast their net? What if they didn't get up and go through the motions of getting ready for a deck load? Remember when Peter was told to go fishing? And you're going to catch a fish, and it's going to have money in its mouth. Pay our taxes. What if Peter would have just stood there and said, huh? No, he's a fisherman. And that is the very first time that he caught a fish with money in its mouth. Praise God, because the Lord can do it. The Lord called them fishers of men. Do you think they had empty nets all the time? Oh, no. Talk about a net from 120 in Acts chapter 2 to a multiplier of 125, according to Sister Sherry, up to 3,000. Now that's increase. That's God showing his power of what he can do. And he can shortly bring it to pass, according to our text. Not have to be long and drawn out. He can get it done. Amen. Now, failure to make your goals is a reality. We know that. But significant regrets is probably going to come to the people, not in their failing to do something or to make an attempt, but rather than failing at what they tried to do. At least they tried, but they step back and say, I wish I had done this, or I wish I had done that. I wish I had tried. The failing to attempt is probably going to be the bigger regret than someone who failed in their attempt. God help us not to have regrets of what we failed to try, what we failed to make an effort at, but to move into the realm of having the blessings of God come to us when we want to do the work of the Lord. Now, let me ask you, is it easier to go from failure to success or from excuses to success? What do you think is easier? From failure to success or excuses to success? Failure to success is probably something that happens more regularly because we want to put negatives behind us. We want to put failures behind us. Excuses just keep following you. Excuses just keep coming. We're real creative when it comes to excuses. Oh, my. All kinds of things can be made up. But you can have reasons, or you can have results. You can't have both. Which do you want? Reasons or excuses or results for the things of God? Well, the devil wants you to fail. He wants to accuse you. He wants to mock you. He wants to call you a failure because that's what he is. He's a failure. And too bad he doesn't listen to Yogi. Yogi said, listen up, because I've got nothing to say, and I'm only going to say it once. That's what the devil should do, but we know he doesn't do that. We know he just keeps hammering at you, keeps trying to pull you down, trying to beat you down. He's a liar. Remember that. He's a liar. He's the father of lies, the Bible says. And get this, he failed while he was in the presence of the Lord. We like to be in the presence of the Lord. That's why we come to church. That's why we sing, why we worship. Amen, why we're here. We want to fellowship with one another. That's important. Encourage one another, lift one another up. But the presence of the Lord, oh my, how wonderful. The devil failed while he was in the presence of the Lord. That's how much of a failure he is. You're in the presence of the Lord, in your prayer time, in your Bible study time, in your witnessing time, praise God, the Lord will lift you up. The Lord will strengthen you. But the devil wants to be a deceiver, an accuser, a condemner, because he's condemned. Amen. And thank God we can overcome. That's why the Lord said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. He didn't say that to cheer you up. That's bad news. But he said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. So when you're in his presence, you're in the presence of the one who won victory. You're in the presence of the one who can give you victory. Praise God. And he can make a difference in your life. Keep looking at that clock, and that's 10 to 3. You got lots of time. Praise God. Now, you have to measure your efforts at doubling. You know, how did we know we doubled? I don't know. We just doubled. Well, you have to measure it. Personal devotion and growth in spiritual matters. You know, last year we had the highest number read through the Bible in a year than we've ever had. That was awesome. That was incredible. Praise God. And I've got a whole bunch of gift cards left over from Father's Day that we're going to save for New Year's. Now, we'll give them out and do something with them. But I'm looking forward to giving out gift cards to those who read through the Bible this year. Amen. And even if you haven't started yet, you can do it. You can do it. You've got half a year left. You can read in the morning, and then you can read in the evening, and you can still get it done. Yes, you can. Amen. I challenge you. And then if you started and it didn't work for you, just pick it back up. Just go for it. Amen. And it'll be a blessing. Our prayer time, praying more. And, you know, I suppose we measure the moments there and perhaps measure the intensity and so on. But pray more. Amen. Pray expecting to receive. Because he will give. Amen. Fasting. Now, fasting's not a real popular discipline, but we want to double in the areas that we want to see the hand of God at work. And if you can discipline yourself with food, say no to food for a few meals or a few days, however extensive you want to carry it. That discipline, that saying no to yourself, will carry over into other areas. You can say no to other areas that are a problem. Amen. And thank God that the Lord will help you in that realm as well. And there are other things that you can fast besides food. You can fast media. You can fast gaming. Oh, I was on the plane, a young couple sitting next to me, and he got his little game out, and man, he was good. I don't know anything about gaming, but he was good. Just bum, 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 bum. His thumbs flying around on that. And then, to my amazement, he got a little exercise thingy out. And all it was to exercise his thumbs there was something coming down the screen, and he would have to hit them alternating his thumbs. That's all it was. No points, no scores, no nothing. Just exercising his thumbs. He was a pro. But that's all he did on the flight, except poke me in the shoulder. I wanted to turn to him and said, do you know how to say excuse me? I'll teach your thumbs a thing or two. Nah. Good grief. Need quiet time. You need quiet time. So you can hear the still small voice of the Lord. Amen. You know, when Brother Greg, Pastor Greg was preaching, and he mentioned the widow's son of Nain and how they're carrying him to the cemetery. She's following behind, tears, blinding her steps, friends, comforting her and guiding her and helping her. Jesus watched that procession, and then he stepped up and touched the buyer, stopped the procession, said, "Young man, I say unto you, arise." I like to imagine the scene. I like to imagine what that looked like. Concern on some faces, confusion on others, irritation on a few. What do you think you're doing? You know. But the man sat up. Yeah. Poor fellow's holding that thing, kind of jostling around. He sat up,
right,
and he spake. What did he say? "Where's my mom? What are you guys doing here?" What did he say? But when he read that portion of scripture, you know what popped into my mind? An image in my head? Sit up. Don't be hunched over your device for hours at a time. Speak up. Visit with your family, for crying out loud. Talk to them for a while. Ask them how they're doing. That guy sitting next to me, a real pretty girl sitting by the window, I'm hoping it was his wife or his significant other that he was eventually going to make his wife. Did he talk to her? Did he visit with her? Did he say, "Hey, look it out the window there, isn't that nice?" No. Good grief. Sit up.
Right.
Speak up. Amen. Especially when there's a world that's lost. See, we got to remember that. They're lost. They're without God. They need to know the truth that you can bring to them. Amen. And have the power and the blessing of God in their lives. Praise the Lord. So you're doubling now. Got to measure it. Invites to church, using the church cards. Reaching out to families with children, because we're trying to build our Sunday school. All of these things, you know, guests brought to church. What did Jesus say when he? What did he mean? How did he want them to fulfill the command? Compel them to come in. Compel them. Some of you use hospitality. That's nice. You invite folks out or home when they come. That's good. That's compelling. But all the other areas that we've got to increase, amen, because you can do it. God can double it. It can happen. Now, a testimony. A testimony has the word test in it, and you've come through that test. You're already past it. You've already graduated. And you're able to tell how God brought you through that surgery, that sickness, that disease, that financial problem, whatever. You've got it. You've done it. You've got that experience. Luke 21 and 13 says it'll turn to you for a testimony. I looked it up in Strong's. In the Greek, it means evidence given. Evidence. You've been there. You know what it is. You know how God answered. And Vine's New Testament words, it's very similar to witness, where you're sharing a personal experience. Been healed of cancer? Yeah, sure have. And I see a couple more who have been as well. That's quite a testimony. Amen. Thank the Lord that the power of God is there. Well, you know, then, and our excuse might be, well, I've never been healed of cancer. You know some people who have. Share their testimony. That's all right. I don't mind you telling somebody that your pastor has been healed of cancer. Don't mind it one bit. And neither does Brother Rick and Sister Annette mind you sharing their testimony. Praise God. So, personal experience. Witness. What do you think the difference is between testimony and witness? Are they the same thing? You give testimony, you're being a witness. In a court of law, it's, they don't allow hearsay. They don't allow you to say, well, I heard that. No, that's hearsay. What did you hear? So, they're real sticky about that. And so, when we give witness, it's very, very similar to testimony. You bear record. You bear record. That's Strong's definition of the Greek. You bear record as you witness. And the Lord said, you shall receive power after that. The Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. And then it was going to be explosive. It was going to spread. It was going to multiply. Praise God. And so, we use the record of the Scriptures to tell about Jesus. And we share the truth of what the Word of God says about the Messiah, about what he came to do, how he was rich, but for your sakes he became poor, so that we, in our poverty, can move into his riches, the riches of his grace, the riches of his mercy, the riches of his compassion. Oh, my. How incredible. How wonderful to know what God is able to do. Vines has the idea to give a good report. That's what a witness will do. Give a good report. Amen. I'm thankful we don't have a bad report about the Lord. A bad report about a lot of things going on in our world today. But not the Lord. No, a good report. And Peter said, be ready always to give an answer to those who ask a reason of the hope that's within you. This world needs hope. This world needs it bad. And thank God we have a hope of the eternal and the Lord bringing his power and his blessings in our lives. Amen. So double your Bible studies. There can be informal Bible studies, Brother Farmer's Bible study. By the way, did I send that out? Did everybody get a copy of it in email? I was going to do that at one time. I can't remember if I did it or not. Okay, I'll definitely try. If you don't get it within a few days, send me a text saying, I need Brother Farmer's Bible study. Yeah, use your thumbs. Okay. So, an informal, spontaneous Bible study. I was in the garage the other day talking to a man, and boom, it opened up. I was able to say, in the book of Acts, this is what happened, talking about speaking in tongues. Then I'm hoping I can get the chart. Remember the chart? I've got a whole bunch of these. And they're you can have them for $15. What a deal. Get a nice binder and a nice series of charts to go with your Bible study. So these, Exploring God's Word, the website, Brother Farmer's list of scriptures. Brother Lamas probably has others that he knows of that he can tell you about and help you with, but probably Exploring God's Word is pretty much the standard. Some of you are familiar with Search for Truth, Light for Living, Search for Truth 2, any of those, I think, because we have, you haven't failed. You have not failed, because only half the year has gone by. You have a half a year left. Praise God. Amen. And you can see that doubling happening. You look for opportunities to invite, to bring guests, to for witnessing and testifying, teaching. Praise God. Praying that the Lord will use you. Lord, I want to be used of you. And you keep sowing the seed. Keep sowing it. Praise God. Just spread it out there. Now, the Lord can do colossal, gigantic, sensational, momentous things. He can. But he also can do little by little. Right? Here a little, there a little. Line upon line, line upon line. That's what Isaiah 28:10 says. Which, by the way, is the same chapter. It talks about rest and refreshing. Woo. I'm glad that prophecy came to pass. Rest and refreshing that we have in the Holy Ghost. But here's Exodus 23 and 30. Exodus 23 and 30. The Lord telling the people of Israel what he's going to do. And how that there's going to be a fulfillment of his promise to bring them into a land flowing with milk and honey. But he says, by little and little, I will drive them out from before thee. How come not large and great? How come not smashing victories and annihilation? By little and little, I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. Little by little, go for your goal. Go for it. Amen. Because God will increase you. That's what he said. He'll increase you and your effectiveness for his kingdom. Praise God. So, the reason you keep records is so you can break those records. And get your thumbs going. I know iPhones have a, what do you call those things on the screen? An app? Notes. It's called Notes. And I have to use that more and more because I will not remember it. I've got to put it down. It's funny to me, you know, you can go to a bulletin board and there's something there you want. Instead of typing in the phone and so on, here's what a lot of the young people do. They just take a picture of it. There it is. Pretty cool. Go ahead and write down the numbers that you've invited, the number that you testified, the number that you witnessed. Keep a record of it because you want to break that record. 1968, there, can you imagine your name being in the dictionary because of something you did? Beeman. His name, Beeman-esque. That's not his name, but to be like Beeman, Beeman-esque, is in the dictionary. Because in Mexico City, in 1968, he was a long jumper. And he took, you know, they have three tries. He took his first two, and he was disqualified, or whatever they call it, because he stepped over that mark. You know, they run like mad, and then launch. And he was disqualified, or fouled, I guess is how they say it. He fouled on his first two attempts. His teammate, who was a world record holder, took him aside and said, you can do this, you know, basically. Your body has never been as light as it is now. Your legs have never been as strong as they are now. You can fly. You can do it. Give 2 inches at the start, and you'll take 2 feet at the end. So, Beeman gets ready. He takes off. He jumps as high as 6 feet into the air. His arms are flung back. His heels land beyond the electronic measurement that they had set up. They had to get an old-fashioned tape measure out, because he beat the world record by almost 2 feet. Beeman-esque. A Beeman-esque effort. You can do it. You can break your records. Keep those records and let others know that God is so good. Amen. I read about a gratitude journal. You know, you talk about journals, people doing journaling. Keep a gratitude journal. Doesn't have to be very much. Just, I'm thankful today for whatever. And man, wouldn't that be fun to read it towards the end of the year, what you were thankful for on July 14th? I'm thankful for, doesn't have to be anything fantastic, if you know. I'm thankful for sunny skies after being cloudy and rainy in the morning. Or it could be something grand, something great. I'm thankful that I got good news. The doctor told me, or whatever it might be. Praise God. Keeping your records, keeping a gratitude journal, just keep going, keep going. You have not failed. You've got half a year left. Praise God. The Lord told us to pray, thy kingdom come. Amen. And that's not just something we're praying for, you know, somewhere down the road in eternity. And we're praying for his kingdom to be right here, right now. Jesus said, the kingdom shall be in you. Amen. And our text at the end, after he doubled the dream for Pharaoh, the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Oh, I'd love for that to happen in our dream. Praise God. Amen. And this is what the Lord said in Isaiah 55:11. How do you like that for doubling? 55:11. So shall my words be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Now, if it was just a man saying that, just a politician saying that, God help us, just somebody who's trying to make a grand statement, that might be impressive. But when it's God, the Almighty, saying that, it won't return void. It shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper for what I send it to. Amen. That's solid ground. That's what you can operate on. Praise God. His word. Now, one last thing. Jesus prayed in John 17. That really is the Lord's Prayer. We call that other part the Lord's Prayer. But this is really his prayer in John 17. And in John 17 and 20, he prayed for your contacts. He prayed for your converts. He prayed for the people that you're going to win. Because he said, neither pray for these alone, but for all them who will believe on me through their word. Turn to somebody and say, it's through your word. Because you're speaking God's word that is not going to fail, not going to be void, not going to be empty, it will prosper. Praise God. So he prayed for your outreach. In verse 18 of that same chapter, he said, I'm sending you. I'm sending you. Praise God. So the Lord's serious about this, isn't he? The Lord wants you to succeed. The Lord wants you to make it for his glory. Amen. Let's stand. I think if the Lord prayed for us and our word that is going to be shared with others, if he prayed because he's sending you, then I think we can pray to him and ask him for his help. So I'd invite you to come, and we're going to spend a few minutes in prayer here tonight, just asking the Lord to use us. Lord, you can help us to double. You can make it work, God. You can bring it to fruition. You can bring it to completion. You can bring it to accomplishment. Amen. Praise God. Oh, my. What incredible potential the Lord has for us here. Amen. Let's just call his name right now. Let's bring this to the Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah.